What's up, gangsters? Welcome back to the Basefeed podcast. After some on and off and a fairly unpodcasty year last year, we are back, properly back this time. And we're excited to bring the podcast back and have some pretty sick projects lined up that I'm sure you're going to be excited about. I know I am. We kick off the year and the rebirth of the podcast with a really incredible chat with the boys from Battle Cancer, Scott and Alex. The boys are over as part of their Dubai tour ahead of their event on March the 19th up at NAS Sports Complex. Scott and Alex talk us through what Battle Cancer is and tell us the stories of how they have created such a unique and accessible event that brings people together through the universal language of fitness, which we all know so well, and through battling cancer. Battle Cancer as a movement has done incredible things to not only raise funds, but awareness and support for people affected by cancer. I was excited about the March event before speaking with the boys, but now I'm absolutely buzzing to get involved and want to get as many of you guys involved. Everything you need to know about the event can be found in the link, which I've kept in the show notes below, as well as the pages for these two outstanding gentlemen. Go and check those out. Thank you for your time, boys. I really appreciate it and the amazing things you are doing with Battle Cancer. Enjoy episode 121 of the Basefeed podcast with Scott and Alex from Battle Cancer. All right, happy new year. I am back, I guess we're back in the studio, we'll call it a studio, with the boys from Battle Cancer, Alex and Scott. How you doing, fellas?
Good, thank you for having us.
Oh no, absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming down. So I was just chatting to Alex the other day and he was kind of telling me the story of where you guys have come from and where you're going to, and I thought, oh, we should stop talking now and record this because I think it'd be really interesting for other people to hear that as well. So here we are. Enough about me. Boys, why don't you tell us who you are and what it is you do. In fact, don't get into too much of the battle cancer stuff because that's what we're going to talk about. Why don't you talk about yourselves for a little bit first?
Go on, Alex. I'm
go on, lad.
So I've recently joined Battle Cancer full time. Been around BC for last probably 3-4 years, but as of November, come on board as a full time employee. My role with Battle Cancer is head of training and community. But previous to that, I've worked in London, UK, in the fitness scene as a PT and group coach for about 12 years.
Just when you say head of training, does that mean you get to write all the workouts that people get to do?
Yeah.
So they can blame you for those.
So. You still get to blame me for the ones at the events.
Yeah.
Oh, the actual event ones.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, so mixture, you can blame both of us on those. worked as a PT for many years, self-employed. Then worked as I oversaw a gym called Third Space in London,
cool.
Which is like very boutique, high end. And I oversaw everything they'd done in Group X. So managed around 50, 60 trainers and multiple different concepts.
Oh, wow.
Big old job. But after 12 years and getting closer to my 30s, it was about time to make a change. And this opportunity came up. And
So 12 years and you're getting close to your 30s. Good going.
Yeah. Wow. Started very young.
Yeah.
So wind it in about close to your 30s, mate. Like that's the end of something.
It is. I'm
34, so.
Yeah, I'm 32 and about 2 years ago, I just completely broke down.
Things are just starting for me, right?
I'm held together with rock tape. And what about you, Scott? For the ones that don't know.
Yeah, so I have a bit of a weird history. So I founded Battle Cancer, you know, nearly six years ago with the original concept. But my background was in the police. So I was a detective sergeant, worked my way up to inspectors, worked in surveillance, counterterrorism, lots of very different things to what I do now.
That's not a very normal job either.
No. I know this is an audio podcast, but if people see how I look,
yeah,
they wouldn't presume that that's what I did. But that's
so
why I was.
So if you never have never seen the picture, it's heavily tattooed.
Yeah. So it was good for me in what I did because people wouldn't presume. So if I was following you, you wouldn't know I was following
good
you.
Good point.
I worked on some crazy things from a professional point of view. You know, aftermath of the Manchester bombing, worked following terrorist suspects, worked in high level of serious organized crime.
Oh wow.
But at the same time, I was competed originally in powerlifting, so my background was I competed at world level in powerlifting, won titles across three different weight classes, and then when I started Battle Cancer, found CrossFit, and then I've been kind of transitioning ever since.
Cool. I was going to ask, that answers one of my questions for later, is how does, because I looked at who are the supporters of Battle Cancer, and there's a lot of CrossFit athletes through there.
Yeah.
And how, what came first for you guys, CrossFit? Has that started this or this first and then found CrossFit?
But yeah, so I mean, it was, we did something called Raising the Titanic, which was like a deadlift challenge. And that was
I remember that.
Basically what started everything, just this, I had this ridiculous idea I could deadlift the weight of the Titanic on my own.
Yep.
Couldn't. Need a lot more people. And that was the idea of me being really terrible at fundraising on my own to actually thinking, well, if we pull people together, we can do different things. And then, yeah, the past sort of 5, coming up to 6 years from that initial concept has taken my life and then obviously now yours on a different trajectory that we didn't map and didn't know we were going to get to this point. And hope for the next 5 or 6 years, we'll be saying the same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, my background's a little bit different to Alex's, but yeah.
Yeah, completely different.
Kind of actually, met here in the middle.
Mine's very similar to yours, but this is a very different dynamic. So, that's you two guys. So what is Battle Cancer?
Yeah, so I mean, Battle Cancer in its like full capacity is, we talk about it being a movement. So it's really a challenge. So it's the idea of a 1 day, 4 9-minute fitness challenges. The idea is that it's accessible, that people come together, that people can use it for a variant different things. So people can use it either to celebrate. So maybe they're celebrating that they're still here, a loved one is still here. They can use it to remember. So we often find people use our events as around about an anniversary of losing someone.
Okay.
And they use it just as a focus and something to not even necessarily make anything better, but just have something to do. And predominantly to fundraise. So, you know, so far we've done about £2.4 million fundraising. Trying to work out my dirham, 10 million dirham?
Close to, yeah. Oh, no, a little bit over.
So far. And I say us, you know, that's not me and Alex. That's, well, actually Alex has done a lot of fundraising himself, but that's people associated to the events. So the events, the whole thing that we reward you for is your fundraising.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a leaderboard today. Yes, you can chart where you've been, but the only thing that you get prizes for is how much you've fundraised.
Nice, that's cool.
And so the whole concept for us was to bring people together and make Battle Cancer mean whatever it meant to you, but in its essence, 4 9-minute fitness challenges. And then along the way, we've launched a program where we've helped 200 people now post-cancer treatment. That's expanding this year. So we actually provide free, but we're supposed to say fully funded, but
fully funded,
free fitness classes. We're bringing one hopefully to the UAE in March as well. So if you've been affected by cancer, you can have 2 classes a week for 12 weeks on this structured program led by our head doctor that we pay for. And we've also expanded it, so we've got something called Prevent. So if you've got diabetes, heart disease, loss of a limb or anything else, you can also come into the session because we want to reduce your chances as much as somebody who's also been affected. So what started out as just a fundraising event, we've also kind of transitioned to help people as well. Because it's cool that we fundraise for loads of different charities, but we don't see what happens to that.
The
money goes off and it's a number and that's cool, but now we get to actually see people's lives. So yeah, we've gone from just one event in Manchester in the UK to 13 this year globally.
Yeah, you were saying that the other day. I couldn't believe that, because talking about the schedule for next year sounds really hectic to fit 13 events into to one, and I've seen your events and they're not small events either. So how is that? I'm guessing you turned your team from a much smaller to much larger, or your reach from a much smaller to much larger team. Like, how is that journey being grown from what you were when it first became? And I'm guessing by the sounds of it, you weren't planning it being such a, it is a global movement now.
Yeah.
How has that been transitioning from what it was to now what it's become? How big is the team now? How have you handled the workload?
Is it 10 now?
Well, so there'll be nine full-time. Also, I mean, I'll say like where we got to, and then you can talk about what it's like since it's expanded, because you've been there. So for a good 5 years, it was just mostly me and my wife who set it up and run it. And we were doing it full-time. So I was literally on the weirdest things. I was on crime scenes. I remember being hid under a ghillie suit watching drug dealers and messaging somebody who needed a team name change. And like, I'm like, okay, guy. I'm like, I'm literally under some ghillie suit in an office, hidden, filming someone. And I'm like, yeah, you can change your name from like, oh, I don't know, the something snatches to something else. It's like, yeah, we can do that. So we did that, and you know, that was years and years. And then we expanded from one. We had Manchester, London. We then had a big year pre-COVID where we had Berlin, Ireland, Spain, and we started to do some stuff in the US. But it was really apparent that even then, when there was four of us, sort of where we wanted to go and the appetite and the accessibility of it and what we could do, we couldn't just do with four of us. So we kind of survived through COVID.
Right.
And then, you know, we've worked our butts off for the past like 2 years to stay relevant, to keep fundraising, to bring events back. And then this year, you know, we took on another five people. We managed to get some real cool backing, great new partnership, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. And then you started. So yeah, how's it been since you started?
I feel I've seen from being like part, so I started Battle Cancer as just a participant.
Okay.
And so me and Scott have known each other a long time, but we don't actually know how we met.
Does my head in.
Actually, yeah, weird. We think some sort of fitness,
I still don't know which one it is.
I think in London.
It's weird. Yes, we've done loads of stuff, and like you've come to do loads of challenges we've done, and we've literally walked for 18 hours through the night across Dartmoor in England. We've done 7 hour non-stop workout. We've done so much, and I'm like, I cannot remember.
We can't know where I met you. Our first thing was. But so we just sort of kind of came together. And then 2018 or 2019, I got involved in the London one, took part myself. Brought a lot of teams down for my
fundraised
gym.
Fundraised a lot. Don't be shy about that.
We were able to fundraise a lot. We sort of done it last minute. And what I did was, it was called 13 in 13. So it was 13 workouts every hour on the hour.
Okay.
And people got to donate and pick a workout.
Okay.
So I put it out to my members and they got to pick whatever workouts they wanted.
That's crazy,
so
yeah.
So we started at 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m., finished 7:30 p.m. So people would donate to take part. They would donate to create a workout. And it was awesome, and we raised like $7,000-$7,500.
Oh wow.
Which is really big. And I've seen it go from there, taking like part in that event, to what it's now looking like for this year, and BC's just grown massively. And I think for me, and especially getting involved now, it's a lot more slick, a lot more professional. Like Scott said, we've got some awesome partners next year, and we have to all now elevate and lift, and it's quite cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, it looks lit as well. It looks like you guys are a very professional outfit and are going places, and the way that you're setting up the tours and stuff that we've got to experience because you're doing your Dubai tour and setting up for that has been very cool and very organized. So it doesn't look like you're a small outfit that's just doing things for the sake of doing it. Looks like you're really making ways of it.
And when you put it, like you said earlier, doing 13 events with a team of 9, and we're lucky enough that we have lots of people when we come to different countries that will support and help, and like yourself, it makes life a lot easier. And we couldn't do this just with 9 people.
No.
And that's what we got to really like.
A big shift is like, you know, you look at, say, Spartan, or you look at someone else. So Tough Mudder is owned by Spartan as a holding company. They have hundreds and hundreds of staff, and they employ hundreds of staff in different countries. So we don't have that, yet we are putting events on in almost the same countries, not to the same frequency as those guys. But I think the difference we identified was, we want to help that community. What we didn't want to do was, oh, well, Battle Cancer works really well in London. We're just going to put a London in Dubai. We're going to put a London in Berlin. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for the local charities. You know, over here, we've partnered up with the Al Jalea, Friends of Cancer Patients, Children Cancer Center of Lebanon. And we need to make it work for the community. So if we didn't involve and speak to people who are leaders in the community, like yourself and has been for such a long time, it wouldn't work. We don't have enough people. It just doesn't happen.
No, and it's obviously you're doing great things. It's a great cause, so people are more than happy to get involved and support. But you guys have had a really big following for a while now. You've got a lot of celebrity backing as well, right?
Yeah, we're pretty, again, lucky. That was a crazy thing that happened in COVID. We've been awesome with having people in the CrossFit world.
Yeah.
And people in the CrossFit world are superstars, but also I was conscious of, for us to truly attain a mass impact, we needed to have people outside of CrossFit as well.
Yeah.
And very lucky, a friend of mine is a body double for Chris Hemsworth, really good friends with Chris for years. So when COVID hit, I was like, look, we need to do something for just, because when COVID started taking over the press, the media, the news, and the impact on hospitals and the impact on treatment, everyone with cancer was just forgotten about, you know? And certainly in the UK, the stats were almost 750 to 1,000 people die every day of cancer in the UK. And there wasn't an announcement from the, you know, from the government on a lectern saying that. So I was like, well, no one's gonna listen to me. So I said, look, can you ask Chris? And then what kind of spiraled was Chris did it, Liam did it. Then we had Matt Damon, we had like Toby Kebbell, we had Michael Fassbender. Then we had
Danny Alves.
Yeah. We had George St. Pierre. We had all these people that kind of kicked on and just did this simple message for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I had PR people ringing me saying, how have you got this to happen? They were like, Chris Hemsworth, like, I can't even get to his press people.
So see, obviously that's what I was wondering as well. I was like, wow, this is some amazing like press contact or whatever. But no, it wasn't.
And I think it's because we said, look, we don't have loads of money, and we don't.
Yeah.
But we literally do this for 14, 15 hours every day of our lives. Like, we have a phenomenal job, don't get me wrong. It's so cool what we do, but we work because we believe in it all the time. So when it's just really normal, and you say to someone, look, this is what we're doing, so many people have been affected by it, they're like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And that's what we've done. And because I'm a bit cheeky, it was quite funny as a split, you know, you're Southern, I take the mick out of him for being Southern. I'm Northern, he takes me out of you for being Northern. I'm the gobby one, so I'll just say to people, look, can you do this for me?
Yeah.
The worst thing that happens is you get told no.
Yeah.
And that really helped us, and you know, people took notice to say, well, actually, okay, you're more than just a competition, and you're more than just an event. You're trying to get a message across, and you know, that picked up a lot of people. You know, the lad who you see in those videos, Craig, he's a coach, he's a volunteer with us, but he's been through two brain tumors during his time with us, and he literally would have chemo and then come to volunteer at an event and go back home and have chemo, and then we flew him out. And you know, there was a point we were in Wodapalooza pre-COVID, and he'd been told, he's thankfully with us now, everything's great, but he'd been told he only maybe at that point had about 8-9 months left with us. So we organized all this stuff for him at Miami. Didn't want to do it. He just wanted to be on the stand, doing workouts, people, interacting with people, you know, and he's got a really big scar on his head, and he puts the Battle Cancer Shield tattoo on his head, and that's become a thing now. And as everyone with brain tumors who've got scars, like, they come to the event and they ask for the tattoo to be on their head, and it's breaking down barriers of stuff like that. That's been absolutely awesome.
That's amazing.
So we're lucky, you know, celebs are great, but it's also the people we've met and the stuff that you get
real
to highlight
people,
of them is so phenomenal. And it,
of course,
you're like, oh, I need to up my game, because there's people who are literally working, training, and facing their own mortality every day.
Yeah, true.
So you know, that's when we're a bit tired. It's like,
get on
with it.
Yeah, and it's as you get older, the more and more people you meet or know, that it's like, until about maybe 6 years ago, I didn't know anybody personally that I'd known been affected by it. But the older you get and the longer your life, or the more and more people you meet, and it does literally affect everybody. So any opportunity for people to get involved, I'm sure people will jump at it.
You've seen that more as well, like from, I think, on personal side, and then like from a, you know, why you've been involved, because you've been affected. And
yeah, and I think that's what makes it more real, like, thankfully my dad's fine now. My dad went through it a few years ago, and that's why I got involved. I had a little scare myself earlier this year, and like, thankfully again, everything was okay. But
that's
when it hits you personally, it means a lot more.
Yeah,
and that's been quite the interesting thing of me coming from just pure fitness background. And it's that cliche, we help people, we coach people, but we help them as much as they want to be helped.
Yeah.
Whereas with this movement, it's refreshing to see people just really be touched and want to go that extra mile for us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not used to asking for help, especially in fitness, and London's not like that. Like,
okay.
You just kind of head down, you do your thing, and you've got to crack on. Whereas with this, people almost offer help, and it's quite, I've said that to you before, it's quite weird, very refreshing and very humbling. And especially in Dubai, the community scene here is so strong. And it's even more, like, most powerful I've experienced myself, and it's so refreshing to come and experience this. And it makes you then think, like, am I like that? Could I be more like that? You start looking at yourself a bit
That's
more.
Cool too, because obviously you've got experience in the same communities, but in different parts of the world as well.
Yeah.
And I've only experienced this one, because I've only worked and been in this in this region. And I think there is, people come over and they, oh, the gyms aren't very close. I say, well, that's not true. I know all the gym owners, me and James are really good mates. And I think it is a very tight community. And I'm sure when you guys come to town, everyone's helping out, everyone's very supportive of each other wanting to do it, and not like, oh no, we want to do it on that day and you can't do it. Is that not a global thing, or
no,
is that?
No, it certainly isn't. I mean, you find, like, obviously CrossFit has its community,
right.
You know, we're very lucky that we've got this partnership with CrossFit HQ, and we're doing more and more stuff with them, but we're not just a CrossFit event, you know.
Of course.
We're not, you know, the Dubai CrossFit Champs was phenomenal, but you've got to be an elite athlete to get to that, and we're not that. So you find that there's similar, you know, qualities in CrossFit boxes. However, you know, that seems to extend a little bit wider here, and I think it seems to be certainly something of the UAE that is an ingrained amount of respect and wanting to help. Whether part of that is just cultural or religious, I think it's a mixture of two that we've seen here.
That's a good point.
That's not necessarily that strong everywhere else.
Yeah.
I think as well, there's quite often people want to do something, but they don't know how or when, or they've not got a vehicle to do.
Okay.
So you find quite often people like, I've always wanted to do something for this, or I've always wanted to do something for that, but they just don't know where to start.
Okay.
Where I think like here, there's a lot more, they're seeking that. Instead of just it coming to the door, we find, you know, we'll come to a gym and people say, oh, actually one of our members is just recovered from cancer. We've wanted to do something, so we're now gonna do it. Where here, it seems people are actively like, what can I do to help? There's a big question on that.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that transitions to people signing up to the event.
Yeah, coming. We'll push it.
But certainly everyone we've met has been, I don't know. I think it's refreshing almost in the sense of it's a great validation for us. Because
yeah.
we never know when we come to somewhere new if the way we're approaching it is correct.
Okay.
And I think everyone's been so nice at every gym. And also, I think there's a big misconception about the UAE. I was literally speaking about this to someone on the plane last night, that there's like a very westernized idea that the UAE is all this kind of closed down, and you know, you can't talk to someone, and you can't put a workout in where you might have to touch each other or not, and it's absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
It's absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, the way that women are promoted here, the way that like fitness and, you know, look at the Gov Games.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at, they literally close down the road so that the Sheikh could run and inspire all these people to run down the road with him.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't be further from that perception. So I think it's a really cool thing for us to hear.
No, I think it's definitely a pioneering country in terms of what, like, I don't know any other country that encourages the entire population to exercise for 30 days for 30 minutes a day. Because at first I was like, oh, it's a little bit weird that they're only encouraging it for a month. Why not year round? And I thought, hang on, I can't think of another single nation that encourages every single person to go and do something for their health and fitness.
It's look incredible. At the UK's response to COVID originally was like, help out to eat out. So you got vouchers to go to like McDonald's and KFC. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I understand from an economic standpoint,
right.
you want to help a service industry. But how about if it's a respiratory infection,
yeah.
how about you help the industry that is built
yeah.
to make people's respiratory system better
versus suppressing it.
Yeah, and yeah. and that didn't happen. And yeah. you know, you saw that here, that gyms were very quick to be at least primed to open, obviously with safety things put in place.
Right.
But that was a big shift from what we saw certainly in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, gyms were the very last thing that was allowed. They were almost like it was like nightclub gym. Like it's like
frowned upon. And
yeah.
It's only as a benefit, like you say, for everything that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
We were just kind of frowned upon it.
I think that's, you know, the difference here as well. I think there's a lot, it's almost like a world country. There's so many people from so many different places that come here, you know, and we were so conscious of everywhere we go that we advertise, we communicate for local people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also aware that, you know, local people here is also an amount of people that have come from America,
from the UK,
from Australia, from wherever else. So local here means two things.
Yeah.
So and it's a great melting pot.
I think that's the
difference.
I think that's one of the things I enjoy the most about it, is not just for meeting new people from different parts of the world that have different cultures, but even just in as a professional, is you've got access to some of the best coaches, physios, people to learn from in the world, and this one melting pot, like you said, and it's just a very cool place to be for that reason.
I mean, even talk about, you know, like the hospitality, like we're holding the event at like the NAS complex. Like,
yeah.
Talk about hospitality. Like that's, you know, His Royal Highness saying you can use my private gym, effectively
and
like the space is.
we knew it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like for the last couple of weeks of going around speaking to people and telling people, and people's reaction.
Yeah.
It's kind of been like a tick for us, and I've said actually
numerous
times.
Happen.
Like
I've only ever been there twice, and it was once was for one of the events. They got Dubai CrossFit Championship for one of the events for a limited time, and it was so closed off. It was literally just the athletes and the staff,
right.
No spectators, no nothing, no one even. And I know getting that and who owns that event to get that to happen is like a big deal that happens. So the fact that you guys have been able to pull this off is, I was like, when you said, doing it, I was just like, okay, yeah, cool, we'll see. And then the fact that, oh no, it's actually happened, that's, I'm like, oh wow, that's cool.
You know, they've been amazing. You know, they've said we can have up to 800 people in there, which is, you know,
nice.
we want 400 athletes. So we've said, you know, usually it's like a one-to-one in terms of spectators.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they've just been like, yep, that's fine. You know, there'll be certain areas in terms of that we don't need to be. Like, we don't need to be in the football pitch because that's not where it is.
Yep.
But in terms of the open and accessibility, you know, it's almost, and it is, you know, for anyone listening, it's like the Queen in England saying, yeah, you can use
Sandringham. My garden.
Yeah, you can use my garden.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think it's that I've been trying to get across to people.
Yeah.
But for somebody of that status to allow something of this, that is a kind of representative of the way that people think about doing stuff here.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we had to pass a few tests that we actually legitimate and like we do.
You've
stuff.
Done your yard, yeah.
But for us, that was it. Was that almost like we passed the test and the things we're doing, and we're very conscious of that, of making a real effort and trying to build true relationships. Not because we don't want to do one and done. No. Like we want this to be a long term thing. And I feel like we're setting stuff in the water now to be able to do that.
100%.
And hopefully now that will carry on through the years.
And we spoke years ago. It was pre-COVID that we had our first chat about you guys coming over. So it's not like this is let's go to Dubai because it's the hot place to be. No. This has been in the making. And
the UAE for me was always, and like exactly, you know, it was years and years prior, but it was somewhere that I think pretty much the Dubai CrossFit Champs like peaked that for me. And it showed, you know, they were going to come out in the whole world of CrossFit and be the first ever sanction or the first ever to really put the boat out in that way. And I was like, hang on, you know, there's clearly something. And then when you dig more and more into the country and you dig more and more, obviously the group of countries, you see that this is a place where people are wanting to come to, industries going here, you know, leading medical research. You know, we've MediClinic, we've got a good friend there who's a breast cancer surgeon. Her husband is also works in like post recovery. Nice. So, you know, all these connections and links were like, we want to come to that country. You know, I feel that Dubai, certainly during COVID, got this like really bad thing because of influencers that everybody just presumed that because a couple of hotels wanted people to come and it was not representative of this place at all.
No.
And everyone in the West was like, oh, Dubai. And I was like, no. I was like, it is not that. Like, you've just seen some from people from Geordie Shore or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, please don't. And I think for us, very much so, to really hit a community, we needed to be here.
Yeah.
And we were so conscious that we said, we don't have the finances to take people from England who do our events to come here. We just don't have that. So the second for us was like, we have to do as much work as we can to make people in the country want to come and be involved with us.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, hopefully a big part of that will be this week.
And that's the awesome thing about doing this. And for me personally as well, taking on this role and like, I'll go on 13 tours this year to different places, is meeting people from those communities.
Mm.
And that's a challenge, but exciting challenge. And that's what we want to do, is like meet different cultures, backgrounds, people from everywhere. And that's what our events are. Like, it is for everyone.
There's a universal language we see, and so this is my point of everybody knows, like, if I said to you 60 seconds empty the tank on an assault bike,
right,
it's horrible.
Yeah,
doesn't matter if you're from Saudi, if you're from Abu Dhabi, if you're from, it doesn't matter, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Same if I say to you the pain of losing someone or the pain of watching someone deteriorate over a long time.
Yeah.
you can associate those things. Mm. Regardless of language, regardless of religion or culture, there's universal languages that speak. So for us, it's also really cool to have that validation that, you know, so we have this year 12 workout challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't know which four you're going to get at your event, but you're going to be able to see what 12 you've got.
Okay.
So you're going to have one that happens in Dubai, the same one might happen in Houston.
Cool.
So my thing is, you know, those cowboys over in Houston know how horrible that workout can be. The guys in Dubai know how horrible that workout can be. You both know loss, you both know suffering and pain.
Yeah.
But those two cultures couldn't be any more probably different in the way that they set up.
Yeah.
But we get to create and really drive home this shared language. And I think that's what's awesome, you know, to see that in Spain and in Germany and Holland and in like all these different places. And it just connects people in a way that you can't do normally.
That's a very good way of putting it as well, because again, fitness is a universal language like you said, is we all know what it feels like to 6 seconds on the assault bike, regardless of what language you speak. So that's a very cool way.
And there's no other event, like we've done events all over the place and traveled, taken part, watched, whatever. There's no other event where you'll see CrossFit Games athletes next to functional fitness athletes, next to nan and granddads and kids or amputees. And that's what our events have.
That's cool.
And seeing that firsthand, and I feel London, like this year London was our biggest ever BC ever event, over 1600 people, so 400 teams, and it had everyone.
Yeah.
Shape, size, ability, skill set. Mm. And that was so refreshing to see. And I think it was a perfect end to the year to set up for big following year. And we had like a November whole, like a month of November, the whole team together in Devon. And that just after London was so motivating, inspiring to have that sort of event and seeing that on the comp floor. And we had really cool roles that day. Like we were just on the floor bouncing around, interacting with people. And it was the first time I could be there. And probably, I'm speaking to Scott first time as well, he's got such a strong enough team, like in different departments, he can actually enjoy the day and chat to people and to see that. And we were both just like, this is awesome.
It's hard, you know, because we've been for years trying to explain the concept of the day. And it's quite hard because, you know, if you say Tough Mudder, it's half marathon with 12 obstacles.
Yeah.
So you can kind of piece that. You know how difficult it gets if you say CrossFit competition, everyone's brain goes to, oh, max snatch, rope climbs, handstand walk. So we're neither of those things. We're like this hybrid of, it's a functional fitness thing. And when you say to people accessible, they're like, oh, does that mean it's easy?
I'm
like,
nope.
Promise you, like 9 minutes can end your world.
Yeah.
But the way that we make the events, and again, everyone's going to be able to see the 12 challenges, you can be Sam Briggs, Nora Olsen, and you might attain X amount of reps in 9 minutes of this workout, but you could literally have stepped into a gym 3 weeks prior and still do everything.
Yeah.
So you leave and can talk about the same workout, you know, and that's quite rare because, you know, even in the open, that's probably the only time people get to share the experience of a workout but even then there's barriers to where people get to.
Yeah.
So you find like elite athletes get to have this kind of like closed little group where it's like, oh, do you remember at Wodapalooza 2018, like that qualifier? And unless you're that level of athlete, you can't be in that club.
No.
Where for us, we've literally got 76-year-olds who've done our events with their daughter and then their granddaughter. So they can be around Christmas dinner and like, do you remember like the workout at Battle Cancer London? And have that conversation. And that again for me is so cool. And we test and retest and test again. And we subtest the competition like challenges.
Yeah.
So we have fit teams, then we have people who are brand new, then we have a mixture of teams, then we have age teams. And we also have the Adaptive Training Academy over in the US.
Nice.
We work with them as well. So they proof go through all our workouts. So we have an option for everyone. So let's say you have limited mobility or a loss of a limb, or you've undergone some kind of treatment, you come onto the competition floor, your judge will give you an alternative movement straight away.
Very cool.
And you're not penalized.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, if you were, you know, not RX or you were not elite, you would have less of a score.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to us. It's exactly the same.
Very cool.
So there's nothing that stops people from having this shared experience.
So then there's 12 workouts that are split between each of the things. You get one at 4 of 12 of these workouts. I'm not poking for any workouts, but when do the workouts come out?
So they'll be all released prior to the Dubai event.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Okay, cool. And is Dubai the first one on the calendar?
Yep. No. First of the year.
Go.
So yeah, you'll be able to see all 12.
Okay, cool.
Train for all 12. So nice. We also give what we call battle prep for free. And it's also the thing of the training tours. So this is where Alex really comes into his strength, because on the tours, we don't just want to hype the events. We also want to give you the tools to train for the challenge. Yeah. And that's been a big thing you've worked on.
Yeah. So we'll do like during our tour workouts, you'll get a 5-minute piece, which will be mirror movements or patterns that you'll see in the workouts or the events.
So we've got to look out for on Saturday when we're doing this.
So it could be like some synchro prep or changeover prep or just a max out. So it'd be a mixture of what you'll see. And we say it will be same but different.
Okay.
So it could be same sort of movements, but in a different layout or format. And there could be one or two of the workouts that you might actually see.
Maybe.
And a cool thing for us is, you know, a partnership we've announced now is we signed this multi-year deal with Nike.
Yep.
And so from about May time, on Nike's Training Club app, you'll be able to choose the Battle Cancer Prep.
Very cool.
And you'll be able to train on the Nike Training Club app with us. We'll be presenting at Nike HQ, like the movements. You'll be able to break that down. So even if you complete, you know, even if you don't go to a functional fitness gym, you'll be able to get for free like 8-week prep to get you ready for what you
That's
might
big.
Do.
Very cool.
And it just ties into being accessible for everyone, like Scott said. If you're not at a gym, you still have this access.
Yeah.
So there's no reason, like our events are for everyone, so there's no reason why everyone cannot be prepped to the best of their capabilities for an event.
There's no barbell, there's no gymnastics as well, so that equipment doesn't really become a bar to issue as well.
Yeah. So how have you guys found, obviously, like gyms like ours and the other gyms in Dubai, and we're fully behind supporting this cause and into training, so we're definitely going to show up and do it, but... Yeah. Have you ever had, I'm guessing not by the sounds of it, hard time filling events because people aren't too sure or worried about committing to it? Is there much of a hurdle to get people over to come play?
So like new times is always difficult. So like brand new events, and we've got like 7 brand new events this year. So like I know we will we will have to work harder to, yeah. than some. You know, London, we've been really lucky that it's grown. Well, I always say lucky, being modest. Like, we've worked hard
yeah.
in London to have so yeah. many athletes. And that's grown and grown, and we need to grow even more. But we've had a base. We've managed to kind of establish at least a very high returning crowd.
Nice.
For new places, this is why we come out multiple times.
Yeah.
We drive to gyms. We go in and we meet people face to face. Because we need to have that buy-in, and we need to certainly to get the first year up and running. Because once you've done it once, you've got the content, you've got the word, you've got the buzz, you've got a lot of stuff happen. You know, in our other events around the world, we've booked big venues this year. We've booked like places that are, you know, a bit of a risk in some sense, but we want to give people that wow of year one and then kind of keep bringing them in. So I wouldn't say we've ever had a struggle where when we've approached someone, they've been like, no.
Okay.
It's just the struggle is always we don't have huge budgets, so we can't do paid ads. You know, we don't have huge amount of money to be able to get radio ads and television ads and newspaper ads and things.
Yeah.
So we just rely on contact. And
I think that's the, for me as well, I came from a company where I ran events for them as well, and they had a huge budget.
Uh-huh.
So I never had to worry about that. Like, this is what we can do, leave it to market and PR. Whereas now it is on us, and predominantly me and Scott, to chat to people and tell people what we do. And that's like a lot more personable, because I then now get to multiple conversations with you over the months and so many other people. So hopefully then that will lead into people being there, and then we'll have a bit of relationship and you'll understand a bit better.
Yeah.
Rather than a fancy video, you understand what we're about and what our events are about.
There is always a fear though, to be honest. Like,
I went from like going at this, but just, we knew it just happened and I was going to do the Dubai event to speak in your next day. I was just, oh, I'm definitely sure we can get more people involved in this than I thought we would.
Yeah.
To now we're like, whatever, we're into this conversation, be like, cool, everyone's going to want to do this event because it sounds really fun and it's for a great cause. And then you've just heard that and went, no, now I'm really scared again because it's 9 minutes of shit. Hell, it's going to be terrible.
We found that with corporates. So like, you know, we've got this great corporate deal. So people come from really big banks and all other stuff now to take on the event because it's a challenge for the day, and we give them so much on the build up.
Yeah.
And we had people that have never picked up a kettlebell. Never, ever, ever picked up a kettlebell. So some people in those offices are terrified.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh no, we want to do it. But it's the accessibility that helps, because it means that you won't be stood, because to me, stuff might hurt, you might be out of breath, you might be sweaty, but you'll survive, you'll come back.
Yeah.
The worst thing is, I remember watching an event, I think it's a pretty dead event now, so I'm not slagging them off, but Tribal Clash. And I remember watching Tribal Clash, and there was, they set this thing, you had to get the stone over this bit of wood, and then you had to climb over the wood.
Yeah.
And the wood was higher than most of the female athletes. So I remember watching just wave after wave of people just stood for 22 minutes looking at a piece of wood.
Right.
And I was like, well, one, from a value point, like, you've purchased this ticket for this event, for this experience, and it's a mass participation. It's not the CrossFit Games.
Of course.
So, you know, you want to be able to do something.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart just watching them. So I was like, never do I want somebody to be stood in our competition environment and not physically be able to do something.
Yeah.
As long as they're moving. You know, we've had so many people who are adaptive athletes. People have got triple amputees that have done our events.
That's cool.
That move solidly for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't want them to stand there and feel like that they're less or that they can't do something. So that's huge for us. But I mean, like, you know, we've said it back and forth. We have this fear. We're like, we can put on the best show in the world. Will people turn up?
Yeah.
You know, to some point, there's always that risk. But what I would say that always comes back when I'm not kind of worried is that everyone we've ever done, people have always come.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've proved to yourself that people are willing to support and that you do run a good event. And I think that's part of it. If people will come back if it is a good event and the program is good and you have a good time. And that is for such a great cause is obviously just a bonus to that as well.
The fundraising's changed it. So because you get a score for the fundraising, that's massively shifted the world.
That's such a good idea, by the way.
People are like, we literally, so our Ireland event in Belfast, we had a guy come in, he's quite big in like the CrossFit community in Ireland, really funny guy, and he'd fundraise nothing. So he was like, what do you mean I'm bottom of this table? I said, like, Kev, you're bottom because you're not fundraising anything. It's a point, a pound, or a point, a euro. I was like, you know, you need to make something here, or a point of dirham, you know, over here.
Yeah.
So he got back, he come up to me in the afternoon and got back on the phone. He went, you need to update my score. I've just got £3,800 in. So he'd been on the phone all morning.
Brilliant.
Donate to this page, donate to this page. Mate, you owe me 50 quid, donate to this page. And he'd come back and he was right back up at the top of the thing because obviously he wanted to help, but it kind of gave him this extra kick.
Yeah.
You know, the winning team this year got a paid trip to Wodapalooza.
Oh, wow.
You know,
over £40,000, like UK pounds.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, you know,
another one got £4,000 worth of gym equipment for their gym. Another one got a Nocco fridge with Nocco for a year. Other people have had entire kit outs, personalised shoes. People have had all manner of things because they've fundraised just phenomenal amounts. And
that's dope.
What was great, we had people, certainly in the London event, come up to us who were kind of influencery people, and they were like, we've been smashing all these workouts. I said, yeah, but you've raised like the bare minimum. You raised 500 quid. I was like, you know, grateful of that. But look at the team at the top. They were like, oh, they've raised 16 grand. I was like, yeah. So that's why they're above you in the league. So it also helps even that out because people who are fundraisers, what we found is the biggest fundraisers, when it comes to the physical side, tend not to correlate as being the best physically.
Right.
So on the day, they don't get any attention.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of whisper through and that's it. And I was like, no, we need to make the highlight of these people that have done the bake sales and they've cut their hair off and they've done all this amazing stuff. They're the ones that I want on, not just the people with the best abs. Like,
that's so cool.
It has to happen. So it's flipped and it's really funny. You know, we've seen, you know, the fundraising last year was, you know, £550,000.
Man.
You know, so however, you know, over a million dirham, you know, because so many people were like, no, I want to smash that league and have a bit of pride in what they've done. So, and we know that every culture is different in the way that they donate. So, you know, over here we've partnered up with Yalla Give. So everything is above board. People can have confidence that when they set up a fundraising page, it's through a, you know, through Yalla Give. It's done, there's permits with every single one, you know, sports council approval. We wanted people to feel like they know what they're doing. And
it goes back, I think the big one is that, and saying to this people over the last few weeks, it goes back to that community. We're a UK company and we're from London, whatever else, UK, but it goes into the community, and that's what our event is about, and fundraising. And I think that's the big one, making people understand that it's not about us, that we've fundraised £2 million over the years, but that is spread out across the globe. Like, it's not, 50
different charities.
It's not like, just in the UK, like that 2 million, it goes into those communities.
I mean, we're visiting the Al Jaleah Foundation on Wednesday. They just opened up a new post-cancer support centre. So we're going in, speaking to the people that work there, talking about fitness, talk about how they can use and signpost people to gyms in Dubai if they've finished their cancer treatment to come and seek support. So, you know, we're here, like, we're not, like I said, it was big thing for us when we sat down that we didn't want to be seen as, oh, these guys have come from a different country and they just kind of, you know, almost I think people can see Dubai as a money pot.
Yeah.
And there would be a perception that, oh, I can just go to that country. Everyone's got so much money. We can just fill our pockets and leave.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we're not a money taker. We're a money diverter.
Yeah.
And that money needs to stay within this community and actually affect people here.
That's very cool.
And so we're really lucky that the local charities have been so excited by it as well.
Very cool. One more question on the event before I switch into my last one is, the team format is mixed.
Well, it can be
whatever
any,
you want.
Yeah, so it can be all male, all female, or mixed. So
just because we're all very competitive, in here. We're already talking about who's gone and who's.
So
teams.
You'll have three different leaderboards that you'll see on the day.
Okay.
So you'll have all male, all female, and mixed.
Okay.
But the mix can be any mix. So it can be 3-1, 2-2.
Okay.
But you will have three different like scoring boards that you'll be able to see. There's no podiums.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to kind of see. So if you've got an all male team that's going against another all male team, you'll be able to see where you.
And on that day, we can make it be that you go up in the same heat. In the same, like, next to each other in the lane.
So some like it and some don't. Yeah. So some are like, we want to all go in the same heat.
Yeah.
And some are like, no, we all want to be separate because we want to watch the others. Yeah, so there's this real big mix. So we can
have,
help with that.
We have that at London, which is quite cool, where teams are going up against each other and they'd all be wearing the same tops and clothing.
Fancy
quite
dress.
Cool.
Like,
seeing them all go up against each other and bring out that competitive side because we all have it in us, right?
So
it's nice to see.
Apart from the obvious things that we've already mentioned and everything that you've done, is why did you guys get into this? Like, this has been 5 years now.
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing I did was in 2017.
Okay.
So yeah, coming up to 5 years.
And then, what was your reason for wanting to?
Yeah, it's a really weird one. I mean, people are always kind of shocked by this. So I mean, I didn't have this one huge impact from cancer. It was always something that I'd seen growing up that kind of everyone who passed away. it was always cancer. So there was kind of a thing of everyone who died, cancer. I never knew anyone who passed away that it wasn't because of cancer. And I'd always done individual challenges and I was just rubbish. Like, okay. I'd do things and they wouldn't garner much kind of amounts. You know, you'll see the newspaper and you'll see a man from wherever raises £10,000 by doing this. That was never me. But I was like, I'm organized, I'm really annoying, so I'll keep doing something until I get my way. So if I take that, and if there's maybe another 500 of me that can only raise 200 quid, but 500 times 200 quid is a lot more than 200 quid.
Yeah.
So that was the idea, and raising the Titanic was a great start, and it showed me, you know, the year before I'd raised probably about £500. And then raising the Titanic year, we raised 38,000. And to go from 500 to 38,000 showed me, well, me spending my time organizing, putting something on, bringing people together, that's where that £37,500 difference is.
Okay.
And then it just kind of expanded everyone. And I've spoke about this before, that it gets kind of addictive. When an event feeling is unreal,
yeah.
You know, for when I get to get on a microphone and say how much we fundraised and get to meet people, you know, people are like, oh, it's such this noble thing you do. I'm like, it's not. What we do is probably the most selfish. We get to meet people all around the world, connect with people who've been affected by illness, fundraise, talk about this thing that is your passion and that you love. So I think I have probably the most selfish, best job, you know, and that was like, I want to do it in Spain, let's do it in Spain. I was like, I want to do it in America, let's do it in America. Like, I want to be in Ireland, I want to do that. So now, because we've got a structure and a company and we've got the resources and ability, it's even more exciting because I can confidently put on something great.
Yeah.
In the past, it was like, I'll book a venue, maybe I'll get kit, maybe it's going to happen, like, oh, can I get a volunteer photographer? And where now, it's like, we've got 13 events that are all planned, we've got international venues, we've got kit providers, we've got the highest media outlets so that you've got the best stuff that happens, we've got partnerships with Whoop and with Nike, and like, you know, now I feel like I'm only just starting.
Yeah.
Now I feel like, oh, this is now the time that we properly kick on.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like I was rubbish at something and really wanted something good to do. And then, you know, I think even for me, and you could talk about your own journey, but I got to meet people like you. And from my old job, people didn't like hanging around me. You know, if I came to them, it was a bad day.
You were meeting people for a different reason.
Yes. Yeah. People didn't really want to hang around you. And then now, you know, it's still a weird thing. And, you know, we've spoke about this a lot and I've said to you, people can't connect with you and they'll tell you these things that's happened that are terrible. And I always say, you know, I'm so sorry to meet you in this way, but I'm so glad I have.
Right.
You know, so many people, I've only met them because they've lost someone or because they've been through it or because there's just some other connection to cancer. So it's bad. The reason that we've got together is bad. But the outcome and the pleasure of knowing that person and what we're going to do now is so positive.
Yeah.
And you had your own reasons for coming and getting involved.
Like, as I said earlier, like, I've had that personal touch with family, but getting involved fully, I've got to that point where I'd say I've done everything in fitness, but within London I'd been a PT, I'd been a manager, I've unlimited amounts of courses, whatever else. I was kind of at that point, like, what more can I do? And I was lucky enough to be quite, I wouldn't say influential, but have a strong community around me. And when I done fundraising events, was able to raise a lot of money, or I enjoyed putting on events and coaching, quite loud, I'm out there, I'm not that shy. So it was like, what can I do on a bigger scale? And that's where kind of I feel like we met at that sort of right time. And then over the years had that exposure. And then I just kind of got to that point, like I said, coming up to 30, I was like, what more can I do on a bigger scale? And utilizing the skills I've learned in working in events and bringing people together and just chatting to people. And now I can do it for a cause that means something to me.
Yeah.
So like, similarly to Scott, it sounds a bit cliche, but now I feel like I have the perfect job. Everything I've done over the last 12 years has kind of led to this and put me in this position to do this. And like, the hardest part is the hours, but we all put in long hours. Like, my job is easy because it's fun, it's enjoyable, and it has a end goal. And I've seen that, especially now the last 6 months, I've kind of come on board and been at all the events, but not really had a role, been like a floater or a host, if we've called it.
Yeah.
Just meeting and greeting. And that, I've been able to really see what all this hard work we do, the tours and everything else. And that's what's kind of now put me in this position. And that's why I'm here and doing it full time and excited for, I know now what it can lead to. Like, I bring up London because that was on the biggest scale. It's like, okay, this is year one in Dubai. If we can get 100 teams, 400 people, awesome. But I know in a few years, we keep working hard at it, and doing the right things, what it could be,
yeah,
and the impact it could have on that community. And it's something so, so, so different. Like, we all compete in multiple events, but this is just so, so different to it. And that's why I think it means a little bit more. And the numbers that we've been able to raise is like...
And be able to do amazing. That with no resources.
Yeah.
You know, with no backing, no nothing else. Yeah. Like, that's the coolest thing.
And, yeah,
you know, we have so many people... So one example of one of our events was we'd had a group of four people that we'd funded through the Battle Cancer Programme. So they'd all had cancer, did our 12-week programme, did our event to fundraise for our programme. So, you know, you stand there and I'm watching these four people and their families who are cheering for them, and it's like, how amazing is this? Is yeah. that person's life cycle has kind of come round and they're all now within our, we like, it sounds a bit of a cheesy management word, but like the Battle Cancer ecosystem of support and fundraising and yeah. connecting. You know, we've had people who have done our events and said they had the cancer treatment, felt, you know, recovered physically, but never recovered mentally.
Right.
You know, one guy really open about it, you know, talked about attempting to take his own life, went into some counselling, did our event basically like 3 or 4 weeks into his counselling, and he talks about it was a transformation moment in his life, and the event and people cheering for him and him emptying everything he had, and he felt like a human again. He felt like a person and an athlete. He wasn't this ill person that everyone yeah. was scared of. And it's hearing those transformations of people's lives where I'm like, actually, it isn't just the fundraising, it isn't just that, you know. And even if you've done CrossFit for 15 years, maybe you've never talked about the time that someone in your life had cancer. Maybe you've kept it in, and you get to come on the day and just know that everybody else in that room understands.
Yeah.
So we always talk about pity and sympathy, and they're two very powerfully different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we have a room of determined people with sympathy.
Yeah.
No one's pitying anyone in that room.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that's also such a cool thing for us to get to do. And my biggest goal with Dubai is to have as many people who live in this country come to that event and outside, you know, around the UAE, and see people connect. And also awareness and education is a big thing for us. You know, the Battle Cancer program as well is going to be on Nike.com. You know, we've got a goal to reach 2 million people over the next 3 years to provide them free training, whether it's digitally or in person. You know, 1.8 million people use Nike training app every week.
Yeah.
So if we can attain 2 million people who've been affected by cancer, like to have the Battle Cancer program support them,
yeah.
that, but then when you do our event, you know that you doing our event is also helping help 2 million people.
Yeah.
So you're beyond not only helping your charity, not only do you get some cool stuff from doing the event, not only with people who understand you and are motivated, even if you've not been affected by cancer, it's just an amazing day. You've got a live DJ, you've got yeah. big production, you've got all this other stuff. But you're around a room where you know you're doing something.
And you're part of that support network yeah. for everyone else.
Forever.
No, no one like says it, but you know, looking around that room, we're all there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
They're, you're not just turned up just to do a bit of fitness.
No,
like,
it's more than that.
You're all there for a purpose, and that's the biggest thing, I feel. Like, we don't have to say it, and I'm probably like, getting better with it, but I won't talk about personal stuff enough, and some people will, some people won't. But when you get to that day, every single person there, whether you're a volunteer, you're the DJ, the photographer, you're there for a reason, like, and that's the most powerful thing.
For
and
sure.
that's why it brings that camaraderie and that good spirit, and it is like a festival, a music festival, a fitness festival. There's a competition in there somewhere, but we're all doing something for a good cause. I think that's the best thing about it, and all we can say is people just come experience it, and it's something big to be a part of.
And I know you guys said it's a selfish thing because you guys feel like you've just got the best job in the world, and I'm sure that's 100% true, but I just think what you're doing is amazing. I think to turn something that is as accessible to everybody who's interested in fitness, that in itself is a very cool thing to do, but to do it for such a great cause, I applaud you guys. It's a very cool thing that you've done, and it's very exciting to see how much it's grown. So looking forward to it.
Thank you.
You guys are coming down. This will hopefully come out on Tuesday, the 4th, and you guys are down here on the 9th running a gym tour takeover for Saturday, which is
Sunday.
8 and Sunday.
Yeah.
Weekend's changed. Yeah. That's the first time I've got it wrong.
Weekend's changed. I'm like, okay.
I've corrected three people today, and I've went Sunday, which is the 9th, and that's 8 and 9:30 a.m. You guys are going to be taking over sessions, so make sure you get booked in for that. Where can everyone go to find out more about Battle Cancer and sign up and do all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's super easy, battlecancer.com. So www.battlecancer.com. Everything's through there. Like, you can even learn about the program, but you know, the events, our history, what we've done. On IG, it's just at battle.cancer. Basically, if you type in the words battle cancer,
you'll find
anything, you pretty much find it.
That is such a great name as well.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It was a big thing for me. Like, you know, we work with Barbell for Boobs. This is not like slagging them off, but it's a very specific name that, you know, like, and they have a very specific goal.
Yeah.
For me, when we put together like Battle Cancer, we were like, we didn't want to have any other association because I want someone to have their own attached meaning to what that is, you know. And I remember getting this BBC journalist who was asking me, well, you're using this really militaristic term and it's an aggressive term, battle. I said, no, I don't think it is. I says, you know, I'm not talking about kill cancer. I'm not talking about smash cancer. I says, battle. I said, to battle something means you can also battle for. I said, so you're not always battling against. I says, you know, and the determination and the qualities that we see in people, you know, we literally have 50 odd year old women who come and do our event who have raised children, then undergone breast cancer or like lost a mum, you know, they've then gone and raised money and then come and done our event. As like, I can list you all those qualities as that person, and that's the kind you would want to have battling anything.
Yeah.
I says, and that's the point of it for me.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
The battle can be personal, community, whatever else. You know, and we help people with, you know, you can support mental health charities, you can support loads of different stuff. So cancer isn't only just for those affected physically.
Directly by,
there's so much by secondary affected cancer that people have forgotten about, you know. So for me, it was a happy accident that we kind of went with it and we thought that it was the right thing. But we've kind of been all right so far.
Yeah.
Like, that it's kind of worked out. Except a lot of language translation, people say battle for cancer, certainly in Europe. So I was after like, no. There's not a four in there, like it's just battle cancer.
Just battle cancer.
All right, well, I really appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to Saturday and looking forward to the event in Dubai.
No, thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us.